The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 7th through Sunday, November 13th, 2022. The commentary for this week and all of November was written by Todd Haig, an English teacher, husband, father, and sports enthusiast who also loves literature and travel. His family attends Christ Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas. We begin with the commentary for Monday, November 7th. It begins as follows from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The commentary for this Monday is as follows. One of my favorite figures in American history is Benjamin Franklin. The statesman popularized many adages, including that it was possible to do well by doing good. Franklin meant that it is possible to succeed and profit by our own acts of goodness. On a certain level, this is true and acceptable for the Christian. We have legitimate needs in our lives, and living profitably isn't forbidden. But when we choose our acts of goodness on the basis of the return rather than the voice of the Holy Spirit, we put aside the eternal reward in preference to a temporal one. And now I'll read this entire passage for this day. It's from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 24. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The moving forward question for this day is, what acts of goodness will you choose today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 8th. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." I recently encountered my son's former first grade teacher. I hadn't seen her in several years, but my son has never forgotten her. In the hearts and minds of her students, she has attained the status of a saint. On this occasion, however, we didn't talk about teaching, but parenting. She told me that in all the difficulties of watching children grow into young adults, she had learned a valuable lesson. We must be okay when they're not okay. In today's passage, Christ challenges the order of our priorities. Do we truly live for Him or for those around us? Do we prioritize His desires for our lives, or are we living to please and protect others first? It can be painful to watch the missteps of those we love, but ultimately, when we place Christ's expectations at the center of our choices, we choose the best for those all around us. And now I'll read from the full scripture today, Luke 14, verses 25 through 35. "Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, 'Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And the Forward Movement question for this day, how can we truly make Christ's desires our own? And now the commentary for Wednesday, November 9th. It begins with a passage from Joel in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. "Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. In response to his people, the Lord said, 'I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a mockery among the nations.'" This day's reading strikes such a contrast with yesterday's. While yesterday's passage in Luke's Gospel felt harsh, Joel ends on a sad but hopeful note. God is jealous over his children. The turn of phrase feels a bit like a shock. God is jealous. Isn't that a sin? While jealousy can be an occasion or temptation to sin, the sinful part stems largely from what we decide to do with the emotion. Of course, God's response to the feeling of jealousy is dramatically different from ours. When I reflect on my own battles with jealousy, I usually find that my response is to be angry or hurt. But that is not how God responds. God chooses to reach out to us, supplying our needs, offering us comfort in our distress, and covering our weakness by protecting us from judgment and ridicule. And now I'll read the full passage from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. In response to his people, the Lord said, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a mockery among the nations. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, November 9th, is the next time you're jealous, think about ways you can respond more like God. We'll continue our commentary for Thursday, November 10th, and this will begin with a passage from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. And the commentary begins, as an English and literature teacher, I am often asked by students for book recommendations. Of course, I usually respond by asking what type of reading they prefer. From there, I am usually able to discern their tastes and offer some titles. I love when students ask me about which books to read. Their question shows intellectual curiosity and openness, and it offers me the opportunity to influence their thinking just a bit further than the curriculum allows. What must it do for our divine teacher when we come to God with the desire to understand? God loves our curiosity and openness more than I do when my students ask for book suggestions, but that does not mean that the wisdom in God's answers will be easy for us to hear. It may even be excruciating. But when we ask for wisdom, God sees our desire for depth, truth, and beauty. What teacher would ever deny those things to students? And now I'll read from the full passage today from the book of James, verses 1 through 15. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. 7:8 for the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way. must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich in the midst of a busy life. They will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. And the moving forward question for this day is, what are you reading? Share a book recommendation with others and also at Forward Day by Day. The commentary for Friday, November 11th, is from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. One thing that bothers me, especially when conversing with my fellow Christians or when listening to modern worship music, is the continual misuse of the term religion. So often we automatically associate the term with an insincerity of faith. But in truth, religion is merely the mechanism of faith. It's the mode by which we express and walk out what we believe. In reality, we are all religious and should gladly claim the word. Instead of disparaging the religious, we should recognize that the remedy for insincerity is intentionality. What we get out of faith and practice is ultimately what we put into it. We must strive to live deliberately. The recipe for pure religion offered in James leaves us no opportunity for insincerity. When we care for those in our lives who are in need, we do so on purpose, and we put our religion into action. It is the most deliberate, intentional, and sincere way to live a religious life. And now I'll read the entire scripture from the first chapter of James, verses 16 through 27. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And the moving forward challenge for this Friday, November 11th, is put your religion into action today. The commentary for Saturday, November 12th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 16, verse 18. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. Today's passage is all about fidelity. In the verse from Luke, Jesus gives his listeners a concrete example of what infidelity looks like. What it may seem to us that Jesus is taking a hard line on a single issue, in reality, he's taking a hard line on a much broader sin. The fact is, there are many ways that we as people can be unfaithful to the relationships in our lives. Sexual or marital infidelity is only one. We can be unfaithful in our desires, our time, our finances, even our prayers. We have varying degrees of obligations to others. Christ is telling us that we must fulfill all of them. The only way for us to do that is to correctly discern the order of importance prior to accepting those responsibilities. That starts with placing Christ's priorities at the center of our lives and letting the others follow from there. Ultimately, it's the only way by which we can truly live faithfully. And now I'll read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also is much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." The law and the prophets were in effect until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to be dropped. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, are there areas of your life in which you are unfaithful? How can you return to fidelity? And now the commentary for the final day of this program. This is for Sunday, November 13th. The passage is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. It's easy for Americans, myself included, to read into today's passage an endorsement of our inherited Puritan work ethic. It's also easy to see in the verses a wink at a political opinion. But while both of those conversations can be relevant depending on the context, I prefer a broader reading. To me, the verses are about life. When fulfillment comes to us too easily, it sours. We become doubtful, anxious, and ungrateful. We come to expect empty pleasures that require nothing of us and ultimately fail to feed us. Life is best lived when we live all of it. The joyous moments are infinitely more joyful when we experience them as a result of, or in some cases despite, effort and struggle. The kingdom of heaven comes at a price, not in monetary terms, but in suffering. But suffering can refine and strengthen, and from it, beauty grows. And now I'm going to read the entire verse here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. And the moving forward challenge for this day is to read all of 2 Thessalonians. It's short. What is Paul saying to the people of Thessalonica and to us? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a prayer, a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.